Good morning and blessings to all of us here. I just want to give a special thanks to you youth. We want you to know that we appreciate greatly appreciate your love for God. You know, there's in the world today, it's expected that when you get a little bit older, that, you know, you settle down a bit and, you know, maybe go to church and some of those things. But you all, as young people, have chosen to surrender your life and to serve God. And we just want to say thank you for that. You know, we, as parents, we're not worthy of that. Having youth that have a heart like you do, but thank you. We're very grateful. And I know that God is looking for people who have surrendered everything to Him, and let's all continue to do that. We, as leaders, although things are things that we look at, that we look at future generations, and when my son Josh came home from Zanzibar, more recently, I just asked him, I said, Josh, as you look at the church and as you look at the youth, you were gone for 2 years. What do you see? You know, what do you see among the youth on the level of spiritual hunger and thirst, and how is that? And he said, you know, I feel there's, among the youth, it's been growing. It's grown from the time I left to the time I came back. And so I'm just saying this to say we appreciate that. So thank you. Thank you very much. Could we kneel together to pray before we start? Oh God, our Father in heaven, we're kneeling before you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for how you have come and how you have sent your Son, Jesus, as a babe. Thank you, Lord, that he lived here on the earth for a number of years, and then the time of ministry and all the different things that you brought. Thank you, Lord, for ultimately giving your life. Lord, thank you for the peace and the joy that you give us today. Thank you, Lord, for your major, all this great salvation that you brought to us. We say thank you, Lord. God, we ask that you would, again this morning, just come and be with us and draw us to yourself. And ask, Lord, that you would, what we already heard about the birth of Jesus, all of these things, Lord, that you would come and use the teaching this morning to give us a perspective and an understanding. And, Lord, ultimately, that it'll help our walk with you. So, Lord, thank you for just being here. Lord, be with the brothers at Shining Light and also the brothers at Bethlehem, and Lord, the brethren across the United States and other countries and all those that call upon the name of the Lord, I pray, O God, that there would be a true remnant that would seek and call upon your name and live in obedience to your word. Lord, I ask specifically that you would give me a burden and a heart to share clear thoughts. Thank you for your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen. thought it was very fitting for what you shared, Brother Laban, in regards to the birth of Christ this morning. I think it helps bring a good balance to everything that I want to share and communicate to this morning. The title here is Christian Holidays, From God or Pagan? And specifically, I want to look at Christmas and Easter. And in no way do I want to minimize the birth of Christ and a true devotion and a respect to when he came here on the earth. But I do look around us here in the world today, and there's a lot of things that is a cause of a lot of grief. you know, around the time of Thanksgiving here in the local area, you will see out here in the town of Millersburg and town of Berlin, you'll see the local community. They will bring all the lifts in, and they will put all the trees and the lights and all the holiday festivities. Everything gets lit up. And not only that, in the local community here, there's many individual houses. You will see candles at the lights, and you will see the lights on the trees, and you will see Christmas trees, and you will see gifts, and you will see the nativity scene. And I remember a couple of years ago when we had the coach bus, I received a phone call, and there was a request for a whole coach bus load of people from the local community to go out and just drive around and look at all the lights, all the Christmas lights, and all the scenes that are there. And you'll see, you know, between Thanksgiving and New Year's, there's all these holiday scenes and things that are going on. And all that is done largely in the name of Christianity, largely in the name of the birth of Christ, largely as celebration and celebrating Jesus and his birth. And then here we are as Bible-believing Christians, people who endeavor to take the Word of God and obey it in a meaningful way. And we look at those things and we ask the question, where do we fit into the picture? Is that real Christianity? I remember as a little boy going to school. I remember the day when it was Easter, and our school teacher that we had in those days, there was an Easter egg hunt, and there's all these eggs hidden across the school playground, and all the children went looking for eggs. And you know, there's lots of things that happen. There's these eggs that are colored, and there's all kinds of things that are done for Easter. I remember in school there was gift exchanges going on, and the Miller family, out of all the school, the Miller family was the only one that didn't participate in giving and exchanging gifts in school. And we look at, not only in this community, but you look at, you know, across America, and you look at the broader world picture, and you ask the question, what is Christmas? What is Easter? What would God like for us here in our local community? What would God like us to be doing over those holidays? What perspective would God want us to have? How do we relate to it? As we all know, Christmas, it's a day when it's a national holiday. there is no work. Everything shuts down except your, even your major stores or some of the major stores that maybe do a partial day that they're open. It's a major event. Major event. Maybe in the beginning, I'd like for you to open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. And there's a couple verses that I would like to take a look at as we think about the subject. And by the way, welcome, Brother Steve. It's good to see you here. Thank you for coming. For those of you who don't know, Steve is Helena's father. I'm sure she's blessed to have him here this morning. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, and chapter 10 is where we want to read. Jeremiah chapter 10. Listen to the words. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Verse 3, for the customs of the people are vain. Now look specifically. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest. The work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. Verse 4. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. And those are some interesting verses. Speaking directly about the Christmas tree. This whole thing about the Christmas tree is not a new thing. It's not something that's been invented recently. These are things that they were doing way back in the days of Jeremiah. And let me just read these verses again so we get the gist of it. And we're going to read verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are, what? Vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver, and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. Interesting. Those are some interesting thoughts. I'd like to maybe give us a bit of history for us to maybe better understand where some of these holidays come from. There was, and first of all, I'm not going to go way back where it started. I'm going to maybe drop in at the time of Constantine. At the time of Constantine, is anyone who can tell me in what time era Constantine was emperor of the Roman Empire? Yes.
Between 300 and 400.
Very good. You're right in there. Anyone more specific than that? Between 306, AD 306, so roughly 300 years after the birth of Christ, between AD 306 and AD 337 is when he was his time frame. Constantine was the empire over the whole Roman Empire, Constantine. He was ruler over a big section of land. They had soldiers, as many of us are aware. Rome had control over a large portion of the world in those days. Was the Roman Empire Christian?
No.
So Constantine was actually a very wicked, ungodly man. In his latter days, as he looked at the whole pagan system, all the idolatry, the idol worship, and all those things that he himself was involved in, then he looked at the whole Christian era, and there was a lot of, prior to that, there had been a lot of persecution on the Christians. And at the end of Constantine's reign, as he looked at it, he said, we need to bring Christianity and this pagan idol worship, we need to bring it together. And at the end of Constantine's life, he, quote, converted to Christianity. He said, I'm now a Christian, I'm becoming a Christian. And, you know, and there was this whole hodgepodge of everything he brought together as one. As a part of that, he also brought the holidays together. The holidays, obviously the Jewish holidays, you had the Passover and the, those types of holidays. He merged those things together. Now, the holidays that we want to look at here in a little bit, where they began, started much earlier than Constantine's days. But Constantine said, I'm bringing this together, I'm becoming a Christian, and that was also adjoining with what's known today as Catholicism, etc. There's a lot of things, if you look in the Catholic religion today, it's where he was back in the day. And obviously, Christianity as we know it today, or Christianity as it was in the days of Christ, after the resurrection, in the days of the book of Acts, there had been a lot of major apostasy leading up to that. So let me just give you some facts here. These are things that they were doing in the day. Now, this was not, this was in Constantine's time. They would decorate their homes with greenery. Have you ever seen that done locally? They decorate their homes with greenery. They'd have special foods. They would give gifts to each other. As time went on up through from 337, on up through the years, there's more things that happened as the Catholic Church, everything was merged together and the Catholic Church took it on. Around 1100 AD, Christmas, as we know it, became one of the most important holidays. Saint Nicholas was a man that was very generous, and he became an icon, later known as Santa Claus, for gift giving. It was in the 1400s and 1500s that the nativity scenes became a part of what we know as Christmas today. In around 1500 was a Reformation. Now, I don't have specific dates for that. Anyone have specific dates for the Reformation? 14 and 1500?
In a Baptist, it would start February 1525 or January 1525.
So the Anabaptist movement started in... Okay, so in the latter 1400s, in that time frame, when the people who were really serious about serving God, they rejected Christmas and this Easter as pagan holidays. And in fact, the country of England outlawed those holidays, and the early American English colonies rejected those holidays as pagan holidays. It was only in later days, I don't know the exact time, but Alabama was actually the first state to choose to make Christmas, Easter, and some of those holidays as holidays to celebrate. And later on, state after state, and at some point, they became national holidays here in America. But the earlier times during the Reformation, there was a specific position taken by God-fearing men that those holidays are actually heathen, pagan, idol worship holidays. So, I'm not drawing conclusions here, okay? I'll follow me through, but those are the things that happened in bygone days. I feel it's important for us to have an understanding of the things that are going on around us and have a right perspective and view these things in a way that is pleasing to God. So I'd like to maybe go back a step further now to the time when some of these things, some of this pagan idol worship really started. Now, what Constantine did is he joined the two together, and it became the birth of Jesus Christ on December 25th, as well as Easter, the resurrection. So, the reason that he made it on the reason that it was chosen for December 25th. Is because December 25th was a birth, was a celebration of a child called Tammuz in the idol worship back further. There's a boy named Tammuz that was his birthday. They later made him a pagan god, and it was Tammuz's, the pagan god's, birthday on December 25th. In the time when Constantine of the Roman Empire, there in AD 336, when all that came together, the names or those holidays were for the Saturn harvest god, as well as Mithras, god of light. Those were specific celebrations, the pagan holidays for those holidays, and those were the ones that were merged together. So, prior to that. You know, the question might come is, did the early church and was Jesus' birth celebrated from the time of Jesus' birth till AD 336 when there was a merging? Was Christmas celebrated? Can anyone tell me?
No. Look, not by Christians.
Yes.
It was celebrated by heathens.
Right, it was celebrated by heathens, but it was not celebrated by Christians. For over 300 years, from the founding of the church until there was a merging of the Christian faith, so-called merging of the Christian faith, there was no celebration of the birth of Jesus. Neither was there any instruction given in Jesus' teachings or the apostles or in the early church. There was no initiation, no instruction. It wasn't important. Now, let me give you a little bit of further history of where some of these pagan holidays or where some of the founding things really happened. Many of these real pagan, idolatrous, idol worship things started by a wicked man named Nimrod. The Bible refers to him, I believe, one time. History actually has a lot to say about Nimrod. There's a lot of history in regards to Nimrod. Nimrod, or the Bible in Genesis chapter 10 in verse 8, it says, "And Cush begat Nimrod." Nimrod was a great grandson of Noah. So that gives you an idea how long after the flood that Nimrod came along. "And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth." A mighty one in the earth. "He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord." If you look at history, and if you look at the history of Nimrod, Nimrod was a very powerful man. He's the one that created, or he ended up building big cities. He's the one that built the Tower of Babel. He was the one. He's also the one that took control over large area of people, and he became a mighty man. I'm going to stop with that, but later on I'll give you some more details about Nimrod and about some of those things. But I'll stop with that. So I want to just ask a couple questions here to help us to think. So the day that's today celebrated, December 25th, is that Jesus' birthday? No. From various sources that I've looked at, there's obviously no one that really knows his birthday. But from appearances, it would seem to be more in the fall time frame of the year, in that time frame. So it's not even close to Jesus' birthday. But today it is celebrated as Jesus' birthday. Here's another question. Where does a Christmas tree come from? Yes.
Well, that's a complicated question because the evergreen tree comes from Germany, but the practice of worshiping trees is about has been
for many, many years. Yes, in the Old Testament. Now, interestingly, in this community, even among some of the Anabaptist people, it seems like there's a rise of some of these practices. There's people that hang lights in the windows and put candles in the windows, and it's all right to have a Christmas tree if it's pretty small. Isn't that interesting? I'd like to just remind us of the verse that I read earlier. "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen." Okay. I want to just ask a couple questions here. And I brushed this earlier, but I just want to make a point. Did the early church celebrate the birth of Jesus? No. Okay. I want to look at, if you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 12, there's a reference made to Easter here that I want to look at. Acts chapter 12. There are some people who have looked at some of these verses and felt like it was translate it wrongly, and that this where it refers to Easter should have actually been translated Passover rather than Easter. But I'd like to just say that isn't necessarily the case. What is being looked here when it refers to Easter is actually the Easter pagan worship that was going on in that day. If you look who was practicing it and what was going on, it was not the Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. That's not what was happening when it talks about this. Acts chapter 12, it says in verse 1, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him and put him in prison and delivered him to the four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter," this Easter is specifically referring to the idol worshiping pagan holiday of Easter, "intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Now, I'd like to also just notate that in the earlier, what's referred to, we call it Easter. If you see the word Ishtar, I-S-H-T-A-R, Ishtar, that's pronounced Easter, which was a pagan holiday of the day. Now, I'd like to just read some here, and I trust you'll be patient with me as I just read. There's a little article that just portrays some of the things that happened through there, and I'd like to just read it for us here. So if you can just follow along as I read this. Ishtar, which is pronounced Easter, was a day that commemorated the resurrection of one of the gods that they called Tammuz, who was believed to be the only begotten son of the moon goddess and sun god. I don't know if you got that. He was believed to be the only begotten son of the sun god, which is Tammuz. And Tammuz's birthday was when? December 25th. There was a man named Nimrod who was a grandson of one of Noah's sons named Ham. Ham had a son named Cush who married a woman named Semiramis. And Cush and Semiramis then had a son named Nimrod. After the death of his father, Nimrod married his own mother and became a powerful king. Now, the Bible tells us of this man Nimrod in Genesis 8, or 10, 8 to 10 as follows. And I won't read that. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Acad and Calna and the land of Shinar. Nimrod became a God-man to the people, and Semiramis, his wife and mother, became the powerful queen of ancient Babylon. Nimrod was eventually killed by an enemy, and his body was cut in pieces and sent to various parts of his kingdom. Semiramis, which is his wife / mother, had all of the parts gathered except for one part that could not be found. That missing part was his reproductive organ. Semiramis claimed that Nimrod could not come back to life without it, and told the people of Babylon that Nimrod had ascended to the sun and was now to be called Baal, the sun god. Queen Semiramis also proclaimed that Baal would be present on earth in the form of a flame, whether candle or lamp, when used in worship. Semiramis was creating a mystery religion And with the help of Satan, she set herself up as a goddess. Semiramis claimed that she was immaculately... She claimed that she was immaculately conceived. She taught that the moon was a goddess that went through a 28-day cycle and ovulated when full. She further claimed that she came down from the moon, she herself, in a giant moon egg that fell into the Euphrates River. This was to have happened at the time of the first full moon after the spring equinox. Semiramis became known as Ishtar, or Easter, which is pronounced Easter, and her moon egg became known as Ishtar's eggs. Now, where does the Easter eggs come from? The son that she brought forth, let me just back up. Ishtar soon became pregnant and claimed that the rays of the sun god Baal that caused her... It was the sun god Baal that caused her to conceive. The son that she brought forth was named Tammuz, which his birthday was on December 25th. Tammuz was noted to be especially fond of rabbits. Do rabbits have anything to do with Easter? And they became sacred in the ancient religion because Tammuz was believed to be the son of the sun god Baal. Tammuz, like his supposed father, became a hunter. The day came when Tammuz was killed by a wild pig. Queen Ishtar, Easter, told the people that Tammuz now ascended to his father Baal and that the two of them would be with the worshipers in the sacred candle or lamp flame as a father, son, and spirit. Ishtar, who was now worshipped as the mother of God and queen of heaven, continued to build her mystery religion. The queen told the worshipers that when Tammuz was killed by a wild pig, some of his blood fell on a stump of an evergreen tree, and the stump grew into a full new tree overnight. This made the evergreen tree sacred by the blood of Tammuz. She also proclaimed a 40-day period of time of sorrow each year prior to the anniversary of the death of Tammuz. During this time, no meat was to be eaten. Worshippers were to meditate upon the sacred mysteries of Baal and Tammuz and to make the sign of the T, like the Catholics still do today, in front of their hearts as they worshipped. They also ate sacred eggs or cakes with the marking of a T or cross on the top. Every year on the first day after first full moon of the spring equinox, a celebration was made. It was Ishtar's Sunday and was celebrated with rabbits and eggs. Ishtar also proclaimed that Tammuz was killed by a pig and that a pig must be eaten on that Sunday. Have you ever heard of the Easter ham? The purpose of sharing this is to just simply give us an overview of where some of these things come from. I'd like to just mention some specific things that I believe are pagan and we should stay away from them. Christmas lights, Christmas trees, wreaths, Santa Claus, reindeer, the gifts, the commercializations, the Easter bunny, the Easter eggs, the Easter ham, all of those things, I believe, fall right into pagan religion. And we grew up, and these things are happening all around us. And because these things have been merged with, in the name of Christianity, by Constantine, we accept some of these practices, and I believe it's wrong. Here's some verses I'd like to just read, and then we'd like to bring some more clarification after we've done this. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. And we'll just read a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Want to read here? Verse 14 of chapter 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement has a temple of God with a temple of idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we're going to read in verse 1, where it says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them from before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods, so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars. Ye shall break down their images. Ye shall cut down their groves, and ye shall burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto thee above all people that thou art that are upon the face of the earth. Turn with me to John, St. John chapter 4. St. John chapter 4, we're going to start reading verse 23. It says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now I'd like to just come back. You know, we look at all the history, we look at all the pagan worship around us, and these are questions that now come up. So what do we do with it all? Right? Right? How do we respond with all these things that are here now? You know, really, there's no easy way to keep working on Christmas Day, is there? Really? You know, there's family gatherings, and, you know, there's all types of things. you know, my question that I'm trying to ask is, how should we respond to all those kind of things? I know that there's people that take very drastic positions one way or the other. I like to just simply say that I think we need to be drastic when it comes to participating in any of those idolatrous things and have no part in it. Those things that were named, right? The lights and the Christmas trees and all the commercialization, all the things, we need to just simply stay away from them. I like to suggest that it's around Christmas, and what Brother Laban shared this morning, I think that's okay. That's good. You know, you can ask about caroling. You can ask about many of those types of things. I think caroling can be good. You know, in days gone by when we've gone caroling, rather than just singing about the birth of Christ, putting in a broad variety of the birth, the resurrection, holy living, just a whole thing, rather than just make it Christmas caroling, make it the full gospel. Is it wrong for a dad to sit down on Christmas Day and read the story about Jesus' birth? No, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Is there anything wrong with Laban sharing here about the birth of Christ? No, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think we should react. And yet, I feel we need to be clear. There is so much pagan worship. There's so much idolatry. And we need to be clear on these matters. We need to be clear. Is it okay to have family gatherings on Christmas Day? Yeah, I think those things are all right. We do it any other time, right? Then it's okay then too. But let's be careful. Let's be clear on the things that God wants us to be doing. And is it of high importance to celebrate Christmas Day? I don't think so. The early church didn't do it. Is it wrong to have a day when we have family gatherings and things? I think that's okay. We do it on other days too. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is, let's look at these things from a God-fearing perspective. How would God want us to view these things and respond? And let's not be caught up in the idolatrous, pagan, heathen wickedness that's going on all around us. But let's be clear on serving God. Lord bless you. There could be lots of discussion. There's all kinds of things we could talk about. Maybe you have questions. I probably don't have the answers. But I do have a burden that we don't get caught up in these idolatrous heathen practices. But let's be clear in serving God.